We have 5 grandkids, and Josiah is our 7-year-old. And he's at that age where he hears things and he picks up what he hears, right? The good and the bad. Mm-hmm. And there's a common phrase that you hear everywhere. Not only children say it, but adults say it. And it's the phrase, "Oh my God." And when I hear that phrase, just always attached to whatever nonsense that people just, you know, use it with, it really does break my heart. It's like it just feels so wrong, like so devaluing and dishonoring to the Lord. And so I've been trying to teach Josiah, like God, we want to honor his name. You know, he tells us in his word not to take his name for in vain. And so don't say that. I do not want to hear you say that. And he's like, "Okay, Mimi," you know, and he's trying really hard not to say that bad word. Well, we were coming home from church a few weeks ago, and I always like to ask him, you know, "How was class?" And, you know, "How was your, what'd you learn?" And then on that particular day, I decided to ask him, "And like, what were the worship songs you guys sang there?" And he's kind of quiet for a minute. And he's like, "Mimi, I have to tell you something." I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "When they sang a song that had a bad word in it." And I'm like, "Oh, really?" You know, wink, wink. And I'm like, "Well, what was the bad word?" And he's like, "They say, 'Oh my God.'" And I was like, "Okay, now I got to switch gears here and like help him understand. Okay, but the name of God is great. And we should be saying the name of God, right? But it's when we use it in the right way, when we're worshiping him, when we're talking about him, when we're showing love and honor and respect to his name. So you can say, 'Oh my God,' when you're worshiping him, okay?" And he's like, "Okay." Because you see, the right view of God is so, so important, isn't it? Our view of God matters, and that's why we're studying the names of God this fall, so you can know him more and love him more personally, intimately. And last week's focus was that the Lord is God. And don't you love our graphics? Bethany did these, and not all of the, they're not all on the banner, but anyways, I love that. Sorry. I do love that so much. But anyways, so last week's focus was the Lord is God. And in the Bible study homework that you did, you looked at 5 names of deity that reveal that he alone is God, right? That there is no other. And if you missed the message last week by Margie Stewart, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. You will be so blessed. So in the Bible study homework this week, our focus and attention was on the truth that the Lord is good. And you studied 5 names of character. Those names are that he's holy, abounding in love. He's merciful and gracious. He's faithful and true. And he's excellent in wisdom. And as the author Mary Cassian put it so perfectly, she said, "You learn that the infinite God is infinitely good." And you're going to have time today in your groups to talk about those names. There's so much. It's so rich and wonderful. And I want you to have that time today to do that. But what I'm going to focus on this morning is on the fact that the Lord is good. Now, if you try to look up the exact number of times that the Bible refers to God as good, it really is impossible. There's not like an exact number. And the reason why is because a simple count does not capture like the full picture, the full essence of God's goodness. You know, we definitely see those verses that are direct and they're clear. Like, for instance, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," right? So we have those. But there are also descriptive verses and different expressions of his goodness. I'll give you an example. Psalm 103:4. "He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." Okay, that's an expression of the goodness of God. And then, of course, we have all the stories in the Bible that depict for us the goodness of God, or we see it in the lives of other people, and we can connect with that and identify with that. One of my favorite stories ever is when Moses, who was the friend of God. It asks him, please, Lord, let me see your glory. And he says, oh, you know, he just had grace upon Moses. And what does he do? You know, first he's like, well, you can't see all of it, so I'm going to hide you in the cleft and you get to see the backside. But then what does it say? And I will show you all my, he doesn't say glory, I will show you all my goodness and I will proclaim my name before you. It's beautiful. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness. Abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And then when you think about Jesus in the New Testament, when he would speak in parables, you would see this theme of goodness in a lot of those parables. For instance, he talks about good soil and good treasure and the good and faithful servant. And he would teach about good fruit and what that looks like and the gift of the Holy Spirit. There was a good gift from a good father. And then we have all of the epistles, all the teachings from the disciples, the apostles of Jesus. And again, you see this theme of goodness that runs through a lot of their teachings. They talk about fighting the good fight, right? Or a good confession of our faith. Or we need to have a good conscience before the Lord. And walking in good works. We're taught that goodness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the gospel is, in fact, called the good news. Oh, don't you love those kind of things? I'm very thematic. I just see things all in themes. I just love that. You see, goodness is a central theme woven throughout both the Old and the New Testament. And the Bible defines goodness in two ways. One has to do with his character, and then one has to do with his actions, and they go hand in hand. I love Psalm 119:68 that says, you are good and you do what is good. And I love that it starts with who he is, his very nature, his very character. You are good and you do what is good. And as I was considering all of this, I couldn't help but think about the goodness of God in my own life over all of these years. I just am amazed at the way that he has revealed himself to me, like in his love and his mercy and grace and forgiveness, in the way that he's come alongside me and held my hand personally, but also on my family, on my children, on my children's children. And then when I think about not only me personally, but on you, like on you, and on this church family, and on this women's ministry. I'm just really overwhelmed by it all. Most of you know I'm coming to the end of a very beautiful and long season in my life where I have had the privilege and the honor of being your pastor's wife and of overseeing and shepherding this women's ministry. And I think about all the women who have come through the doors of Calvary Vista and been a part of this ministry over the past 29 years. And some of you in this room have been with me from the very start. The first day I showed up, you were there. And then there's been many that have come and gone. And then there's so many new. I just met someone new this morning. And it's like, every woman leaves a mark. Like every woman is part of the story and part of the fruit that God has produced here in our lives and in this ministry. And as I've been thinking about all of this lately and knowing that this season is about to change for me, it will happen in January, and we'll talk about more of that logistically and all that. And I want you to hear my heart and Yvonne's heart and Christy's heart. So I'm keeping my message as short as I possibly can. But my heart resonates with the song that Grace led us in today, right? His mercy's never failed me. All my days I have been held in his hand. His voice has led me through fire. In the darkest nights, he's close like no other. I've known him as a father. I've known him as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of the Lord. And I know that that resonates in your heart as well, right? Because we're daughters of God. We're children of God. We know him. We experience him. The evidence of his goodness is all over our lives. Amen. Can I get an amen from that? And really, I couldn't wait just to be here with you this morning, and because I just pictured us being together, just remembering his past goodness, his present goodness, and then trust his future goodness, because there is so much more good in store in all of our lives. And in this ministry, I am confident of it. So with that in mind, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 145 and stand if you're able. Psalm 145. Okay, and as you're turning, I want to point out a couple things. One is that this is believed to be the final psalm that David wrote, and it's a psalm of praise, and I absolutely love that, just thinking about in the latter days of his life and, you know, all the years that he had walked with God and seeing God's faithfulness in his life. And then also it's interesting that this psalm in Jewish practice, this psalm was recited twice in the morning and once in the evening service. And even to this day, it's a central part of the prayer service. And I thought about that, really, not only every day, but two times in the morning and one time at night. There's something to be said about that, right? Because aren't we so forgetful? You know, the children of Israel were forgetful. We're forgetful. We can easily forget God's goodness, and we need to be reminded. And so I just think that's a little exhortation for us that shows us really the importance that we are in the Word every day, right? That helps us remember who God is, that we put that worship music on and we're singing out the truths that are in those worship songs, and we're meditating on Scripture and we're proclaiming it and we're saying it and we're singing it, right? I always say, you know, say to your soul, sing to your soul. And we need to do that. So we're going to recite this together, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version. I'm going to read the odd numbers. So I'll start with verse 1. I want you to read the even numbers. Raise your hand if you have a New King James, so that those around you, if you don't, maybe you could just read off of their page and share in that, or you can just listen. So here we go. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And lift your voice a little bit louder for me. Go ahead. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. Yeah. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Amen. We learned in our Bible study that when you say that, it's so be it, it's true, and I love this. It's yes, yes, yes. Say that with me. Yes, 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 right? And we say amen. It affirms that we believe that God's character is, number one, trustworthy. Can I get an amen? That God is our pillar. Oh, you're getting weak on those amens. Wait, what? Let's start over. You got to get this. When you say amen, when you pray and you say amen, you're affirming that we believe that God's character is number one, trustworthy, amen. That God is our pillar, that he will hear our prayer, that he will be faithful and true to do what he promised, and that he will fulfill his purposes in our lives. Amen. Amen, amen. But let's be honest. Sometimes we are tempted to doubt God's goodness, aren't we? Because life at times looks dark and it looks despairing and there is suffering and there is pain. And a lot of what happens in life, it's not good. It's not good. We live in a fallen world, right? Where there is sin and sinful men. And sometimes we can't make sense of the bad things that happen to us and not only to us, but ones we love. We don't know why God allows certain things to pass through our lives. Sometimes it's because we have unanswered prayers or God did not do what we expected him to do, what we had faith that he would do. And so, in those times, and we all know this phrase, I think we do it at maybe at Easter, I don't know, I can't remember, but the phrase, when I say God is good, you say, and all the time, right? But when we say that, even though we want to believe it, and we do believe it, sometimes our hearts deep down in the recesses of that, right, we struggle to mean it. Because there are those seeds of doubt. We think, really, Lord, all the time? Like, all the time? Yes, all the time. And ladies, do not forget that you have an enemy. And Satan is the father of lies. And he throws those fiery darts in your thoughts. And you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision of who you're going to listen to. Are you going to listen to the lies? Or are you going to listen to the truth? It's a battle, right? I mean, Satan wants us to doubt God's goodness because that takes us away. It leads us away from the presence of God. It's like we start veering off. And isn't that exactly what happened to Adam and Eve? We have to be so aware of his schemes and what he wants, what he's trying to do in our lives. So what do we do? You've heard me say this a million times. We fight the lies. We choose to believe what's true. We fix our mind on what's true and good and lovely and pure and of good report. All of those things that the Lord tells us to do. We put on the armor of God. We pray. We humble ourselves before the Lord. We be honest before him. We take it to the Lord and we ask him for help. We know the names of God. We speak the names of God over the lies. We sing the names of God. I love that part in the evidence song. Why should I fear? Like the evidence is here. I love what Chuck Smith always says. When you don't know or understand something, fix your mind on what you do know. And that is the true. Go back to his word. Remember his past faithfulness. Remember also, I think we forget this a lot, that God tells us, there's a few times in the word where he says, look, I am going to test your faith. That's just part of the process. I'm going to test your faith. And to test your faith, I have to put you in the fire. So that we can see what really comes out. When all the dross is burned off, what's there? Are you maturing? Are you growing? Do you really believe what you say you believe? Are you really taking hold of the promises and walking in them? And so he'll test our faith, not once, not twice, over and over again. Doesn't matter, even when you're old and gray, he will test your faith. I'm proof of that. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus. So a few weeks ago, Rob and I went to Oklahoma to see my son Aaron and his daughter Brooklyn, and then our grandson Jack, who's just going to turn 4. And then we have a brand new little girl Eleonora Stella. She's so cute. So we had a great time. But one day it was like, Rob, let's take Jack to the park. Just us, you know, it's like we live far away. We want to bond with him. We want to have like this, just this fun experience and good memory for him. And so we were, Jack, do you want to go to the park? And yes, he was so excited. We get in the car, we drive to the park, and we get out. And of course, the good Mimi that I am, I immediately grab his hand and I tell him we're walking through a parking lot and I want to keep you safe. So hold my hand, Jack, and he did. But I could tell, man, he had one thing on his mind, and it was the tallest slide at the end of the park, and he wanted to get to that slide. So the minute he got his feet onto the grass of the park, he just wriggles his hand out of mine, and he just darts off for that slide. Now, the problem is that he didn't pay any attention to this wonderful, safe pathway that would have taken him over to the slide. Instead, he just makes his own path, and it's through this red dirt that had rocks in it, and you know what happened. He's almost to that section of the park, and he falls, and it's like, you know, in slow motion, you're like, yeah. Oh, you're just trying to stop it from happening. And he went down and he's crying and sobbing. And of course I went running over to him and I pick him up and I hold him in my arms and I'm trying to comfort Jack, and he's not being consoled. And then he's like, he's so afraid to see the owie that he literally like just shuts his eyes and he will not open his eyes. And as much as I tried, I knew that I was not the one that was going to be able to comfort and console his heart. So with his eyes closed, I got him back into the car, drove all the way home, and he kept his eyes closed. And we get to the house, and it was really a beautiful sight, because the minute Brooklyn, his mommy, right, picked him up in her hands and comforted him in her arms, he stopped crying. And with, you know, a few minutes, she was able to get him to open his eyes, and we went on with our day. But it was such a beautiful picture of the fact that only Brooklyn could comfort him. And isn't that the way it is with God the Father, our Abba? He's the one that wants to pick us up and hold us and comfort us and console us and tell us we're going to be okay. We're in good hands. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this, about him upholding us and holding our hand. And it's a picture of a constant presence and care and guidance in our lives, providing us with the strength and comfort we need. I love Isaiah 41:10. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And it goes on to say, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. It's beautiful. And also, girls, I love the fact that we see in Scripture that God has such compassion on us when there's an evidence that we're stumbling or we fall or we fail. He doesn't despise that. He doesn't reject it. He draws near. And he wants to pick up and hold us. So if you're in a place of doubting God's goodness right now, maybe you've stumbled over pain or a loss or an unmet expectation or hope, and you feel a little just lost in that way, I want to remind you of his abounding love and goodness towards you. And Psalm 37:24 says, though you may stumble, you will not fall, for the Lord upholds you with his hand. In closing, I want to talk real quickly about something that's really important for us to understand, is that, yes, Scripture, Psalm 145, tells us the Lord is good to all and his tender mercies are over all creation. That's going to happen because his very self is good. He's perfect, right? So that is going to come out on creation. It's going to come out on the world. It's going to come out on people. But I want you to note that when God proclaimed his name, he was saying, I am. He said, Lord, abounding in love. There's always abounding and abundance that is ours in Christ Jesus, right? Jesus came and what did he say? I came to give you life and that more abundantly, right? So don't we want all the abundance of his goodness in our lives? Well, if we do, there's a path that we need to take. He's set it out for us. It's beautiful and it's safe and it flourishes. And so what is that beautiful pathway that leads to abundance and goodness? Well, there's three things that I want to bring out to your attention. Number one, it's for those who love God. And not only love God, but what's the very first commandment? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. It's just loving him. He's drawn to that. He wants to lavish goodness upon the one who loves him. Even though I know I'm not getting to the point that his love is not determined by our goodness. What my point is, an abundance, more, is going to be lent to those who walk this path. I hope that makes sense to you. So it's for those who love God. And then, of course, we think of Romans 8:28 that says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, this verse, in times of our life, we love this verse. In other times, it's kind of hard and painful to really process when we're in those times that feel bad and are bad in our lives. But it's such an important verse that we need to understand and hold on to. Okay, I'm going to read this little portion that maybe gives a little more insight to it. It says, we can have confidence that he is working through all of life's circumstances to bring good out of bad, light out of darkness, joy out of sorrow. It's not that God is especially agile, a kind of cosmic PR man adept at manipulating circumstances, but rather that he is the planner, the engineer, the designer who has ordained the means just as much as the end. He ordains the calm and the storm, the darkness and the dawn, the famine and the feast. This being the case, no event is meaningless, no situation purposeless, no condition ultimately hopeless. God is working out his good and will not, despite dark days, difficult trials, and broken hearts, but through them. Such circumstances are the raw material he uses to form and shape his good plans and his good purpose. So, what's the path of abundance? It's loving God. Number two, it's trusting God. Psalm 34:8, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then it says, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Trust is key in our relationship with him. And the more we love him, the more we're going to trust him. And our study did teach that when it says he's holy, it means he's 100% good. We can trust the Lord. We need to trust the Lord, and it is a pathway that leads to more abundance in our lives. Number three, we need to obey him. Obey him. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly, which means he has the ability to withhold a portion of his goodness and his grace. He determines that over different situations in our lives. But for those who walk uprightly, meaning with integrity, meaning with the fear of the Lord, we want to walk in obedience to his will and his way. If we're women that do that, we love God, we trust God, and we obey God, we will experience and live in the abundance of the goodness of God in our lives. I want to finish the story of Jack before we pray. The next morning when I woke up, I was just like, so I just wanted a do-over. You know, it's like I wanted a do-over. I wanted Jack to experience the fun. I wanted to laugh with him. I wanted that bonding and that experience with him. So I said, Jack, you want to go back to the park today? And he was like, yes, let's go back. And so we got back in the car. We went back to the park. We got out of the car. I did the same thing. I took his hand. You're going to hold my hand through the parking lot. But when we stepped onto the grass to go to the park, Jack did not let go of my hand. He held onto my hand. He stayed close to me. And I said, look at that beautiful path. path, Jack. And look, it's going to take us right over to the slide. So let's stay on the path. And we did. Listen, girls, you want the fullness of God's goodness in your life? Walk on God's path of abundance. He's with you. He's holding your hand. Stay near to your Abba Father and stay on the path. Don't let go of his hand, and you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So, Lord, I pray over all of us, Lord, that we would take heed to this word. Lord, that we would stand on the truth that you are a good God, and you've proven it through your character and your nature and your actions, and we say thank you. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. And Lord, help us, Lord, to not stray off that path that's going to just bring abundance of you in our lives. We want that. We want life, and we want it more and more and more abundantly, Lord. We want to live in you, live in your spirit, and just experience the fullness of who you are. And so I pray that over my sisters today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.